We are right in the middle of our series on Proverbs. Again, we want to thank Dale Benedetti for being with us and Team Riley this morning. Excited about what God is doing. The Lord is transforming his church to be the church and not some dead entity that has no power. The church is in a rebirth. But anytime there's a rebirth, there has to be a death of something. And the last several years, I believe, has been a death process. Because God always brings life out of death. Old ways of thinking have to die. Old patterns of how you do things have to change. The way you see yourself has to change. If you always see yourself as a victim, you'll stay a victim. But if you begin to see that Jesus actually came and died for you, it'll change how you see yourself and how you walk. There's actually power in this house. There's power in this house because of the Spirit of God that's in this house. And the Spirit of God is not just in this house, but you are the church. He's in you. And as we were singing this morning, I just felt in the Spirit that heavens are roaring with us. There's a power that's coming back to the church that we have not seen before. And some of you might be freaked out about it because of the way that you grew up and your religious form of thinking. You don't have to be freaked out about it, but you do have to be open to it. Because the Spirit of God, when he comes, he brings liberty. And when he brings power back into the church, you got to be ready for it. It's a reason why churches are being swept right now. They're being swept. Because the Lord is revealing sin for what it is, because he wants his house right. And so as the people of God, we have to get aligned with God's purpose. God does not have to get aligned with your purpose. It's God's purpose. That's it. And so if that means that we have to learn to surrender and to submit, we'll have to do just that. Because when we do that, then we begin to walk into God's purpose and walk into his plan. Because most people say that they want God's purpose and they want God's plan. But when it gets inconvenient, it becomes another thing. But following Jesus is not convenient. It means death to self, death to what you want, death to your emotional dysfunction, death to things in your life that are not him, so that he can raise you back up to life. This is the process of Christianity. You want power? There's going to be some sort of death that takes place in your life. There has to be. Because Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That means deny you, deny what you want. And most of you are in that process right now where you know what it looks like for God to come in and interrupt your process. Interrupt your process. You thought that it was one way, but God said it's actually not that way. It's this way. And so there's coming a time in the church, and there already has been a time over the last several weeks, where you will see more of the prophetic. People will be moving in that direction here. And we're just open about that. We're open about it. Because the Spirit of God is the one who directs services. We got to get out the way. But this is the church in action. You know, when you look at the New Testament, they were always in action. There was always doing something to further the kingdom. And we have to be careful that we don't get so sedentary in our walk that we miss out on the power of movement. Power of movement. There's power not only in the precious blood of the Lamb, but there's power that's living inside of you. And I know for some of you, this is hard to reconcile in your mind because we have this idea about church that it really isn't church at all. Church is not just an experience. People want to come in, they experience, they base their Christian walk on how their church experience was. How was church? Ever notice that on Sunday afternoon? Well, the top question is for people who go to other churches, how was church today? And most of the time, oh, it was good, it was good, it was good. And worship was great. Worship was great. And we like to point out different things. And then Monday comes and we forget. We got to walk now. We got to walk. The thing that God's been dealing with you over the last several weeks, you got to continue to walk that out. The process that you're in, you got to continue to walk in. So you take what the Spirit of God's doing and remember that he's walking with you. Walking with you. And the things that he's asking you to do, he's actually serious about it because he wants you to move further in. And when you begin to do that, revival begins to break out in your life. You can be sitting in front of a computer and have revival. You don't have to be in a church on Sunday morning and have revival. And people, what they do is they revival hop. You don't have to revival hop. Just sit. You can get it. I'm telling you, there have been times in my house where I feel like I could run around my house about 18 times just because what I feel like the Holy Spirit is doing. I'd be in the shower just singing the Spirit of God. I'm in another place in my bathroom. The Lord's just doing something. I'm having revival because there's a rebirth and God's saying, come deeper, come deeper. And as I come deeper, He's changing, rearranging, healing, producing power. So that when I come into the house, I can already sense He's here. Why? He's been with me the whole week. He's not waiting on me to get here on Sunday morning. I'm already walking with Him. So that's why when you come into the house, there should be chains. Miracles should happen. Chains should fall off. There should be a difference when you come into the house because you are the church and the Spirit of God is within you. Within you. That's why there's a different atmosphere today. It's charged. Why? Spirit of God's here. Because He's in you. Churches are supposed to be alive. People come to church, I got to get filled. You should have been filled before you got here. That's why you change the perspective. Those of you somehow, I see some of y'all new. This is what we do. We change the perspective. When you come here in this house, we produce praise. We produce it because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We produce it, and then all of a sudden, heaven can come down because we're entering into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Why? Because He's worthy of what He showed me this week. He's worthy to be praised. And so that's our lifestyle. That's our atmosphere. It's not the third song, and all of a sudden, I'm free. I was free at 7:30 when I got here this morning. I was free. So the Spirit of God was already here. You should leave better than when you came in, because when the believers get together, things happen. That's why the upper room was so powerful, because they were all in one accord and the Spirit of God just blew in that room. That's why we do church. That's why I don't advocate couch church. That's why I don't advocate sitting at home and saying, I'll just watch it on TV. It's not the same. And the enemy has lulled people into thinking that's enough. It's not enough. You are missing the blessing in being part of the body. Because things happen here that don't happen at your house. Like I said, we're in the book of Proverbs. And we're excited about this series. Why? Because we feel like there's a lot of people who are walking around dumb. And we call this wisdom. And the reason why we do that is because there are certain things in our life, when you begin to look at these things, is that right? Is that right? And when you look at the Word of God begins to illuminate maybe some of your deception and the things that you're walking in. And some of y'all are looking at me right now and say, you know, there are probably things in my life that I'm doing that are not right, but I see people doing some dumb stuff. You don't say it all the time, but you think it. You think it. And Proverbs shines a light on those areas that need a little bit of correction. And the one thing you begin to understand about the Word of God illuminates, and it separates truth from lie. If you're able and you're willing, it'll transform you into think differently. And transformation is something that God has called every believer to go through. It's part of the sanctification process. With that comes transformation. So if there's no change, then we have to see, what kind of process are you in right now? Because there's always that process going on. There's always sanctification taking place in one area of your life. Why? Because Jesus is always in the business of changing. And once you think you have something dealt with, the Lord graduates you into the next season and say, okay, now we're going to go a little bit deeper and work on this. There's always something. You're always going to be in some sort of gym lifting weights with the Lord. So I want you to think about it from this perspective. However you think God is and what you think God wants to do in your life, it's probably falls short into the magnitude of what He actually wants to do. Because what we do is we take God and we put Him in a box and say, Lord, if You can move in this box, then I'm fine. Don't ask me to be uncomfortable. Don't ask me to deal with anxiety. Don't ask me to deal with my spirit of fear. Don't ask me to get out. And what we do is we shackle ourselves from walking in freedom and walking into the fullness of God because of fear. And the one thing that we do and that people do in life is that when they fear, they try to control. And when you feel out of control, it's a barometer, it's a test on what you're going to do. But the more you walk with the Lord, the more you realize the less control that He wants you to have. Because if God's going to take you beyond your borders and beyond your comfortability, you're going to have to trust Him beyond that. That means even when you start down the road of emotional health and healing, you're going to have to allow God to take you beyond the borders of your pain, so that he can deal with some of that stuff. Because that stuff turns into things that get into your life and they become roots. And those things have to be dug out if you're going to be free. And no one likes to talk about that, and no one likes to go in and talk about the root of rejection, because when you really look at it, it all goes back to that root of rejection. Because people don't want to rehearse pain. They don't like the way it feels. But when you begin to realize that it's necessary, that when God takes you through that process, it's there so that you can be free, there's something about the process that you begin to almost say to yourself, okay, Lord, if it's your will, I'll do it, because of the result of it, the result. You don't like the process necessarily, James, but you like the results. I want power, but you don't want pressure. You can't have one without the other. Because God's going to come in and he's going to do things in your life that are going to cause some things to get stirred up. I don't like, Lord, the idea. I want to be free, but I really can't deal with my anxiety. And the very thing God's going to do is going to make you deal with that anxiety so that you can understand what real freedom is. This whole worship team right here has a testimony. If they didn't say yes to God, God wouldn't be able to take them and do the work that he needed to do in their life and deal with that spirit of fear or rejection. If you ever want to be free from rejection, just get up in front of people and have to do something. Because God will bring to light those things that you are hiding so that he can deal with those things. Let's take a look at Proverbs, the first verse, chapter 15. It says, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. How many know people who have said something, you're like, it's probably the dumbest thing I ever heard that person say. The first question I have for you today is this: how attractive are you? And you might have a certain perception about yourself that other people don't have. Because when it comes to knowledge, the believer should be the one person that stands out apart from the unbeliever. There should be something about your walk that's attractive that unbelievers look at and say, I want what that person has because of how they live their life. What comes out of their mouth, there's merit to that. And if we're not careful, we can do a disservice to the body just by the way that we talk. There are a lot of people who are physically attractive, but once they open their mouth, they become ugly. Because of the fact that what's coming out of them is stemming from what's happening in their heart. And God said, if you allow me to take you deeper, I'll change your language, I'll change how you think, and that you'll become attracted to those that are around you. Some of y'all guys just waiting for you just to get out of the way so we can do the work in your life so that when he presents you before people, you're attractive. There's coming a time in the body where, and it's happening now, where God is bringing people in the church in front of people of influence. And there are going to have to be some things about your life that are cleaned up. And the only way God cleans up is that he has to go in and prune some things, clean some things, so that when you say something, it actually has merit and it has worth. When Jesus spoke, his words were life and truth. And things actually happened and things changed. And the Lord wants the same for you. When you speak, atmospheres changed. Lives are changed. It's not a matter of you just walking in a room and not saying nothing, but it's a matter of you knowing who you are, but having the right thing to say at the right time and having knowledge. A lot of people say, well, knowledge puffs up. Yeah, but it's better to have knowledge and have an understanding than to walk around ignorant. And this is where people get it wrong sometimes. They think, well, I don't want to be privy to the world's issues because I'm not of the world. You're not of the world, but don't be dumb and not understand what's happening in the world. A lot of times as Christians, and you probably know a lot of people like this, we get so enamored with heaven that it's hard for us to carry on conversations with people and be relevant. Because we're so spiritually minded that we always heard the saying, we're no earthly good. And you know, parents used to say it all the time, you're so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good. But the reality of it is that there has to be some good. You have to have some knowledge about what's happening here so you can speak into it. Not get caught up in it, but you got to be able to speak into it. How are you supposed to dispel darkness if that you as a light can't get in it and speak into it? How are we supposed to change things if we don't have the skill set in order to get in and actually change stuff? It's one of the reasons why God is pushing people and doing a work holy in their body. So it's not just about the spiritual self, and we value that. It's not just about the emotional self, and we value that. But it's also about skill set. Do you have a certain skill set? So if God called you into a situation, your skill set would be needed. Knowing that the Spirit of God goes with you. Are you good at what you do? And many times we're asking God to do things. Lord, I just want you to do things. I want you to promote me. And God's saying, if you just work on some of the stuff I've given you and work that, I'll perfect that process and I'll bring you before people of influence. I had to learn to video edit during COVID. I wasn't a video editor. I became a video editor. And now in that process, I've had opportunities to do some videos for corporations because of that process. Not that I knew how to do it, but I said, we got to do something about this. And God did not allow me to look anywhere else and say, who else do I know who could do this? God says, you can do it. And I had to learn in front of the hours. Missy, what are you doing? I'm working on this edit. Hours. Learning how to move this. Tedious. In the mundane, but God was perfecting. Skills. Learn how to multitask. So now when I do one, I can do it quicker. I can understand certain things about what I didn't know before. Why? Because there was discipline. And the Lord said, we got to get you smart. And God said, I already put it inside of you to learn it. And sometimes you don't know that it's inside of you until you're forced to get into it. Seasons bring with it a different opportunity for growth. And the things that God has placed inside of you will come out seasonally. The need necessitated me to learn it. And God said, now is the time. And that translated into other things. Then I started writing. All the stuff God began to use, it wasn't some magical thing that happened. God said, it's inside of you, and I'm going to use something to push it out of you. And we're looking for God to rescue, and we're looking for God to do stuff. And God said, I got it inside of you. All the stuff you're coming up against now, I'm just perfecting you, and I'm allowing it to come out so that you can actually see it's actually in you. Some of y'all don't even know that you can lead, but you can lead. You can lead. And God's bringing you into positions now that may not be comfortable for you, but you can lead. Some of y'all have the gift of being very emotionally relatable with people, and you love people. And God has brought you in front of people to be able to pray constantly over people who are in some serious situations because you said yes. It fits you. It fits you. And because he said yes, God began to elevate him. Now, Sean's first day, singing worship, right? So elevation, just say yeah. Just say yes. And so what that does for me is that makes what God's doing in Sean's life attractive because of his yes. What motivates you? People ask, what motivates you? When I see people doing hard stuff, that motivates me. When I see people getting out of themselves and doing things, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of this team. I see people get out. Man, I'm just proud of them. Why? Because you can sense it. They said yes, and God said, I got you. And that's what makes it attractive, because it's not just about lip service, but they're actually doing it. How attractive are you? We joke around every once in a while, because Mia's, 15, going to turn 16, and she's getting into this dating age and, being able to, date possibly and go out. And we're always in conversation with her about her understanding what makes a real guy attractive. Not a guy who plays video games 6 and 7 hours a night, but a guy who has a good head on his shoulders and can respect you. Number one, has a relationship with the Lord, and that who respects you and who will allow you to be you and not try to change you. That's what's attractive about Mia, is that Mia's Mia. When it becomes unattractive is when you start to conform and to what other people want you to be, and you lose yourself. You begin to lose yourself. I've already lost respect for you. Because there's no way that God wants to bless you and then lose you in the process. That's not what God does. When God adds, that's what he does. When he blesses, he adds to your life so that you can elevate, not subtract. God's not trying to hide you. If blessing you is going to kill you, God said, I'm not going to do it. And you might say to yourself, what about all these people who are successful? What about all these people? And in their timing, God has done certain things. But I want you to look at all these people who are not in those positions anymore because they couldn't handle the weight of success. And they got there because they were talented, because what happens with talented people is that they fly real low until you actually see them up top for who they really are and realize that below the low, we got some stuff we got to deal with. You know it is. And you know people who have had surgery before, and the doctors say, well, we really don't know the extent of it until we get in. And the surgery was supposed to be like 4 hours, but it was like 10, because when we got in, we found out there was actually deeper than what we thought. And there were like things, like you lost that L4, was busted up, and that began to turn here, and all of a sudden, you know, it was a whole process, but we got it all. And sometimes what you don't realize with God is that when people get exposed and you begin to see things, the roots go deeper than just the act. It goes to the behavior problem, because something got in that they weren't able to resist. And because they couldn't resist it, they built a foundation on that, something that was sinking, so that when pressure came and success came, they slid right off because they didn't know how to resist temptation because they weren't submitted. And this is what happens in the body when we talk about elevation. God says, I will elevate you in due time when you understand submission. If you can submit under me, I will elevate you and I'll add success into your life and there'll be no sorrow to it. That's when the Bible says that when God blesses, he blesses, there's no sorrow. Sorrow. It doesn't mean there's no stress. There's going to be stress with success, but God says, I'm not going to add sorrow to it. If blessing you is going to depress you, I'm not doing it. You want a husband or a wife real bad, but if I give you that, it's going to take you away from me because you are not built enough and strong enough in your identity to be able to stay close to me because you're still looking for them to complete you. Why would I do that? God said, why would I give you something that's going to rob you of a relationship with me? That's part of emotional health. And knowing that God as a good father looks down at you in love and knows what you need when you need it. How attractive are you? What attracted me to Misty was her relationship with the Lord. And the fact that we didn't need each other to survive. I was happy eating Hostess cakes, drinking Pepsi. It was a terrible diet. But nevertheless, God said, you're ready. Because if you don't get in, you'll never get in because you're not going to commit. Because you're independent. And she's been ready because I've been working on her. And God said, it's good. Let's work together. And that process has been ongoing. But the story hasn't been easy. But because the foundation is where it is, it keeps moving. How attractive are you? She's more attractive today than she was 20 years ago. She's more attractive because of the beauty that's inside of her now. Because she's allowed the Lord to do the work in her life. And that's what attracts me to her. We're not bound to one another in bondage. We're free. Two, do you know who your father is? And this is where we get in trouble sometimes because this is where it stops for most people. Oh yeah, you don't know my dad. This is it. This is where the emotional health component comes in. Oh, you don't know my dad. You don't know how he was. You don't know what forms of rejection. You don't know what I had to deal with, abuse and neglect wise. And all of a sudden, all that stuff comes back into our life. We start walking with Jesus, and instead of seeing Jesus, we see dad. And we're trying to develop a relationship with Jesus, but we're having a hard time letting go of dad. Because we see Jesus through the eyes of him, our earthly father. And you know it's true. And God has to do a work to free you from that identity trap to know that your identity now is in him. So as you know your identity is in Jesus, all those other things in your life you can let go of little by little because you know that that person can't define you. Only Jesus can. And you might be in this process now or where you're still believing lies about your past. And because you're believing lies about your past, you have a hard time receiving the unconditional love of God. And where God says, I've died to set you free, and you have a hard time moving forward. Because every time you move forward, you're taking that one piece of what happened with you. It's around your leg. Because you start hearing stuff like, I never even wanted you in the first place. You'll never amount to anything anyway. Why can't you be like your sister or brother? And those forms of rejection get tied into you. So when Jesus comes in and you have an encounter with him, it's difficult for you really to accept that Jesus loves you as an individual. And you're free positionally, but in reality, you're not. Because every time you have a conversation with Jesus, it's not real vulnerable or open because you're still thinking about what you lacked growing up. There is no lack in Jesus. So Jesus makes up the difference. Wouldn't it be great if you can finally let go of dad? And some of y'all said, That's my comfort. I don't want to let go of dysfunction. Because if I let go of dysfunction, then all my other issues exactly will start to come out. And God said, that's what we're trying to get at. I'm trying to get all your codependency out. I'm trying to get your anxiety out. I'm trying to get your inhibitions out. All that stuff that stops you from walking free. I'm trying to get all that stuff out. But you're holding on like just a blanket. It's like a whoopee. Remember, Mr. Mom, Mike had the whoopee. And finally, he said, it's time to get rid of the whoopee, man. And he finally got rid of it. What's God asking you to get rid of? Well, you're holding on to it. It's like your truth. This is my truth, and it's not a truth. It's a lie. I was never loved. I was never accepted. I'll never be anything. And we're holding on to it real tight because, God forbid, we let it go. You don't know what's going to come out. You might wail. You might cry. The very things you might need to do in order to be free. But you're scared of that because you've allowed fear to shackle you. And because you've allowed fear to shackle you, you don't know what freedom actually looks like. You can see it, but you really can't taste it because you got it locked in. It's with me. How you doing? It's like a badge of honor. Man, I'm doing good. Just real wounded, though. Real wounded. We don't say it, but we walk around like that. Protecting ourselves. Like someone who's been abused, and you can tell when people have been mishandled or abused. And if you can get a picture of the body, that's how a lot of the body looks like. They're not facing Jesus. Because what we do is, when Jesus asks for it, automatically we do, like a little kid, right? No, it's mine. No, but I have freedom for you. No. But this is my fear. It's my fear zone. It's not a safe zone. You call it a safe zone, but it's your fear zone. No one can get in. As long as you can control it. You control who gets in. You control who gets out. That's why you do the same thing every day. And now allow the Lord to really help you deal with some of your spontaneity. He wants you to have spontaneity at times too. Well, we have a hard time doing that because God forbid we get out of routine. Routine's okay. I'm not saying it's bad. But sometimes we get stuck. This is what we do all the time. At 10. Because religious. God forbid you have to work Saturday night at 9. It's past 5 on Friday. It's good. I've left that a long time ago. There are times where I'll be working Saturday night. Lord will inspire me to do something because it's liberty. The liberty. But we get so stuck in this that we forget that God wants us to be free. Yesterday, just a quick example. So Missy said, yeah, I got to work the rest of the day. I'm like, okay, it's fine. I'm going to the movies. Had a great time by myself. Free. Just enjoying Jesus. Just being around other people, enjoying Jesus. Walked home, walked back in the house with Chipotle. Got the order wrong still. Why? I know who my daddy is. It's free. If I was bound to her and we were in bondage to one another, I would have said, okay, you're working? No. Sorry. We're free. You know who you are. I know who I am. I'll see you later. Okay? We came back in. It was good, right? Had a nice time. She did her thing. I did my thing. Still love each other. Free. Bondage, if I would have went the other way, now there's a little bit of disdain. Wait, hold on. You're doing that. I don't have to do this. An immature person, emotionally immature, would have said, now, you know what? I'm just going to stay around and hang out. Heck no. Spirit of God says, get out the house and go do something you want to do. Stay free, because I know who my daddy is, and he's faithful to say, hey, you got it. You know who you are. Let's go to the next verse. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Some of y'all are so consumed with news sources, trying to figure out, is he guilty or is he not guilty? What does that mean? What does the indictment mean? Is he going to run? Is he not going to run? Everyone is so excited. Like, is that really Joe Biden? I mean, everyone's trying to figure out what's going on. I don't know. I can tell you guys what's going to happen. I can tell you pretty much every night what's going to happen. Okay? It's going to be a similar conversation about what's happening. Okay? In the process. And they're going to regurgitate it 4 different ways. Have 8 people on who are going to give that perspective. And then realize tomorrow that it's probably going to be the same thing. But when you realize that Jesus is in control and that he puts people in place Not to say that you're not aware of it. Be aware. But don't get so caught up into what's going on, because it's very difficult to know what to believe and what not to believe. What's the Spirit of God telling you? You're light in darkness, remember. So you shine a light. So that's why when you're in conversation with people, automatically your light switches on, man. Your light switches on. You're talking to people and you're like, oh, I see it. I bear witness with that. I can see what's going on there. Or the light switch is so where you just shut that down and say, nah, it's not God whatsoever. And you move. But God gives you the ability to speak truth in the situation. I believe that God has placed some of y'all in situations where he wants you to speak truth, but you haven't said it. You're afraid. I'm afraid, because what if I go against the tradition? Jesus didn't die so that you could stay traditional. He died so that you can be free. Say it. If God has given you the platform, say it. If the Spirit of God is urging you to say something, say it. It's on you if you don't. No one's saying don't do it in love, but say it. But you got to watch when you say it and how you say it. God's not asking you to go and start blasting everybody, but what he is asking you to do is when the opportunity presents itself, speak the truth. I remember growing up, I would hear my mom talk to my dad and talk about process perspective in an Italian culture is changing the negative narrative to anything's possible. Okay. So you're talking about becoming a Christian, but also you're fighting against traditionalism and the way things were. And God said, I've come to set you free from all that. That's Richie, that's not gonna be your lot. But I used to hear it all the time. My mom would say to him, so be it according to your faith. If something was said that was negative or discouraging, you don't believe God's gonna do it, so be it according to your faith. Because how we believe dictates what we're going to receive. God is not Santa Claus where he just gives you what you want and you want a huffy skateboard with orange wheels. He doesn't give you what you want all the time, but he gives you what you need. And what God is after is perfecting faith, perfecting faith. And you know that your faith is being perfected by what comes out of your mouth. Do you believe God can do it? I believe God can do it. I haven't seen it yet, but I believe God can do it. Well, how do you know God's going to do it? Because his word said he's going to do it. He promised Abraham a baby at 75. 25 years later, he got the baby. Just because God hasn't come through, quote, the way you wanted him to come through or yet, doesn't mean he won't. There's a timing for everything, but it doesn't mean that you're not in the process to receive. You're not on the belt. Next. Next, but you're moving. Next, up ahead, you see them getting it, right? You're like, yeah, I'm next. There should be something inside of you that says, oh, I know I'm next. I know, Spirit of God, you're stirring it up. There's an anticipation, I'm next. I feel the freedom, I'm next. You're just getting ready. You ought to be getting ready. Don't wait and praise God. Do it now. Do it in faith. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's not great right now, but thank you. I feel it. Feel it. Just be ready. And you'll get there soon enough. You know how to get to places quicker? Just change how you think. Change what you say. Change what you say. I'll never win. You're going to stay stuck longer. I'll never get free of this. You're going to stay bound longer. But if you say, I know God's got good things for me, I can know the best is yet to come, all of a sudden, your attitude changes, your shoulders go back, you begin to walk in faith because the Spirit of God is moving inside of you, and you just begin to walk. Walk. Not walk like this, but walk. Because you know that God's working it all out. But so be it according to your faith. My marriage will never change. So be it according to your faith. You can't look back over your life and say that it was your mouth that stopped you. Just write that down and take it home today. Your mouth stopped you from getting all that God wanted you to get because I couldn't muster up enough praise to learn how to thank God in all circumstances. And God had to hold me out because it was always about what I was going to get and not about what God was doing. And I couldn't change my perspective to know that if I get it, he's good. If I don't get it, he's good. And that he's still worthy to be proud. I couldn't change my perspective. Just change it now. Change it now. Get up. If I don't get it, Lord, I know you're good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you don't deliver me, I still know you're good. If you do, you're still good. It doesn't matter. All of a sudden, God comes in. Why? Because now you're talking faith. I'm here. Because when I'm here, it doesn't matter if you get it or not. Your enemy can be dying around you, throwing insults, but you're chilling because Jesus is with you. It doesn't mean you don't go through stuff. I can tell you stories about stuff. This is easy for you. You got no clue. Give thanks. Why? Because out of my mouth, I'm telling God he's good no matter what. Lord, this hurts. Still all good. Still good. God knows it hurts. God knows the process of grieving is not easy. God knows that you don't know the way that you should take all the time. But he's still with you in the process. Lord, I want to quit. God knows. But when you don't and you say yes, strength comes. That's where real strength is built. It's built in tension. And when you decide not to quit, God said, now we can do something. Now I can give you the strength to be able to know what it looks like to hold stuff. That's how God builds it. Embrace tension, and I'm gonna come with you. Some of y'all, God's held you out of blessings because of your fear. Not only of the unknown, but of pain. And I sense that. The pain of what it might feel like to have to learn how to walk when you feel rejected and not accepted by everyone else. And God says, you're going to be held out of all that I have for you until you learn to embrace those difficult places. Because not everybody's going with you. Let me ask you here, how many feel the Spirit of God just moving in your life and urging you to deal with some stuff? Just deal with some stuff so that he can move you on. Move you on. Let's keep our hands up in the air a little bit. Just as an act of surrender. Father, we give you our lives again. We thank you for the faithfulness of your Spirit to wound for a good reason and to perfect us in the process. We know that all your promises are yes, and we say amen to those promises. And even in the process, we can know that you're good and that your love endures forever. It does not change. Even when it doesn't make sense, you remain the same. Even when we can't see it, you remain the same. Even when it hurts, you remain the same. Help us to push past it and all that you have for us. Lord, bring freedom to people in this house. Bring them out of emotional dysfunction into freedom. Lord, I thank you for a newfound freedom as people begin to walk with you and talk with you. I pray that you would intervene in their circumstances. Let them know that you're close. You're close. And as they begin to give you thanks in all circumstances, because you said, that's my will, I pray that you would begin to elevate them and promote them faster into all that you have for them. In Jesus' name.